I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
We have Orson Welles today.
Yeah,
not in this room. He couldn't fit.
Yeah, right. We wouldn't have any oxygen to breathe. We, you know, let's face it. We're big. We're so big, John, that we have our own film series at the Gateway Film Center.
Yeah.
It's called Cinema Classics. It's the first Saturday and following Thursday of every month. We'll be here.
Yep.
We're working on some fun stuff. So let's talk about Touch of Evil, which is September's Cinema Classics title. Greatest film noir ever made, Orson Welles. Yes or no?
Arguably. If you poll directors as to their favorite director, it's Orson Welles. So, baby, we can't get away from this guy.
The guy has panache, you know? And you can see that in the way he inhabits his character here in Touch of Evil. Quinlan, he's big, he's sweaty, he's grotesque, he's unshaven. He looks like he's been wearing that suit for a week, and he probably did. Welles wasn't a method type of guy. He was a big, broad, Baroque performer.
Most people think of him not selling his wine before his time back in the 80s before he died as a huge man. Well, he was big making Touch of Evil, but not big enough that they had to spend hours putting him in prosthetics to make him look huge.
When he's always loved that. He's been obsessed with makeup from an early age. He was always putting on putty on his nose and dressing up. And even Citizen Kane, which I got to tell you is still some of the best old age makeup I've ever seen.
Well, you know, in Touch of Evil, Welles talked about the fact that this was the most fun he'd had making a motion picture. Even more fun than Citizen Kane.
Right.
Because he didn't have to deal with the heavy symbolism, all the tricky shots and so on. And once he got rid of the suits, you know, then he was able to run that film himself. And then afterwards, of course, they came back and cut him
off. Well, of course, because it's anything but a straightforward film noir. He's out of his mind. All kind of bizarre characters. You want to talk about those for a minute?
Oh, yeah. The motel clerk, Dennis Weaver.
Yeah.
And he brings him in. Welles brings him in because he admired his work on Gunsmoke. What the heck is that coming
that's
from?
That's weird. And what about Mercedes McCambridge?
Oh,
this sort of menacing butch lesbian.
Yeah, he cut her hair himself. He scooped her up from having lunch with her and asked her to be in the movie. That's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
Sees a talent, has her come in.
Right. Not just the supporting roles that are weird. Charlton Heston as a Mexican is the lead.
With a black mustache.
Now, I like Charlton Heston in this movie. I don't think it's over the top.
He doesn't work as well for me, largely because I can't wait for Quinlan, that is Welles, to come back on the screen.
Right. But they're perfectly opposed.
Oh, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, good
perfectly
point.
Perfectly opposed. Welles takes the film noir template and then makes it inky and smudges it. He amplifies all the grotesque qualities of it, all this weird sexual stuff going on.
Sure, yeah.
And all the criminality. And
he lards that movie with all that kind of stuff, but you're thinking, you're just watching a straight...
Did you say lards? He lards the movie?
Gee, I don't know. Why was I thinking that?
Why would you think lards?
But
go ahead.
Other imprints from him. First of all, the opening scene.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about that. The tracking shot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing piece of work. Welles laid down the track, pushed that camera through those streets, and they orchestrated all the action around it. They blocked out their actors. And it's craftsmanship.
Oh, yeah. I love the little things like having Marlena Dietrich play a role.
Now, and everybody makes fun of Charlton Heston for playing a Mexican in that movie, but Marlena Dietrich was playing a gypsy.
Yeah, I don't know why I liked her better than I liked him. While we're supposed to be talking about Touch of Evil, we can't help but keep talking about Welles.
Right.
And I'm wondering, what is it about him that makes us be magnetized by him to talk about him rather than his movie, which may be the best film noir?
The guy's an outsized talent. He's outsized physically and just as a talent, man. When you're watching an Orson Welles movie, you know something interesting is afoot.
Well, it's like The Third Man.
Yeah.
So Carol Reed is directing that, but Orson Welles is the center of that film. And when he's on and when they're going around on that Ferris wheel, he's in charge of that movie.
He is the Hannibal Lecter of that movie. You know, in Silence of the Lambs, Hopkins wasn't in it that much.
Right.
You know, Welles is the Anthony Hopkins in The Third Man. You're waiting for him. He's looming over everything. And that scene, as you say, in the Ferris wheel, that's his face-to-face with Jodie Foster, so to speak.
He wasn't originally intended to direct Charlton Heston through a fit because he thought Welles was going to be directing. And they allowed him to make one of the greatest films of all time.
Right, because Charlton Heston was a big box office draw. He's one of the biggest movie stars of time. Probably one of the best decisions that guy ever made.
Today's Cinema Classics is brought to you in part by the Gateway Film Center at 1550 North High Street in the Campus Gateway. Some of the films reviewed may be featured at Gateway Now. Further listings and showtimes are online at gatewayfilmcenter.com. Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto.